I want to address the critically important issue of whether that arrangement, as a precedent for the future, was or was not in the best interests of the United States. The related question that has been raised is whether it should not be carried out by the new administration. It was our objective to bring about the release of the hostages without making any concessions that might encourage terrorists in the future. I think we fulfilled that objective. Let us briefly review the costs and benefits of these agreements to see if they offer any other government an incentive to behave as the Iranian government did in this case. Iran paid dearly for its behavior. They were subjected to worldwide condemnation and isolation, to which, incidentally, Prime Minister Rajai was exposed directly on his visit to the United Nations in October and later on his return home, his visit to Algiers. Iran was subjected to worldwide condemnation and isolation, and for a period of almost 14 months, they lost the use of more than $12 billion in frozen assets. Their economy was severely distorted by sanctions. President Bani Sadr, who is also an economist, estimated that at least 25% was added to the cost of goods imported into Iran as a result of those sanctions. As a result of the negotiating pressures brought to bear in the final months of the crisis, they agreed to a claim settlement program under which they have paid off enormous debts to U.S. banks and must leave hundreds of millions of dollars of Iranian assets in escrow to pay U.S. claims. None of these costs would have been sustained if Iran had obeyed the rules of international law. And what did they gain in return? The fact is that Iran achieved none of the major objectives its officials declared. They did not extract an apology. They did not achieve an international condemnation of the United States. Quite the contrary, they brought such a condemnation upon themselves. They did not achieve the return of the former Shah or any of his assets. They extracted no ransom, financial or otherwise. And as all Americans are aware, for all the reprehensible treatment they inflicted, the Iranian captors could not even dictate the behavior of their victims. No trumped-up personal confessions were signed. And as our people walked the last gauntlet to the plane that would bring them home, it was clear for all to see that it was the Americans whose dignity was preserved and the Iranians diminished. We would not wish such an episode repeated, but let us understand its effects. Internationally and domestically, the United States emerged stronger, Iran emerged weaker. This is the first time in many centuries that a government has condoned the taking of diplomatic hostages. The result affirms beyond all reasonable doubt that crimes of this sort do not pay. That still leaves the question whether we could not increase the cost still further by repudiating the bargain now that our people are home. I believe most strongly that even if we could avoid this agreement, we should in our own interests respect it. We should do that not with any hope for our relations with one country, but because it is essential to our relations with the rest of the world. We should fulfill the agreement because we are a great power with an interest in preserving our honor. We should do so quite simply because the terms are fair and our word is good. Before I defer to Warren Christopher, let me take this public opportunity to offer my personal thanks and the thanks of the American people to the government of Algeria and its diplomatic corps, headed by Foreign Minister Ben Yahya. They took on a delicate and enormously complex task. They did so selflessly, They accomplished their work with dignity, skill, and courage. They performed a service to the community of nations which will not soon be equaled. I also want to recognize the role of the quiet statesman who will speak next. It is a literal truth that there would have been no settlement without his unrelenting tenacity, his resolute optimism, his powerful intellect, and his legendary energy. As nearly as I can tell, after 8 months of close association with him, he is a man without limits. My admiration and my affection for him also are without limit. And in reciting this tribute to his efforts, I include the whole team of dedicated and talented people, not only in the State Department, but in the Justice Department, in the Treasury Department, the National Security Administration, who worked with him so closely in the hectic days which became such a front page story for the last few weeks of this trial. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.